All right. Well, good morning to all of you. So glad to have you here this morning as we are kicking off the Christmas season. I tell you, it's exciting to be able to be in the end of 2020. How many of y'all are ready for 2020 to be over? Yeah, all right. Well, we have a little bit of celebrating to go, so we are going to enjoy this season, enjoy what it means. And for me, Christmas is all about hope. That's what Christmas is. It's about hope and sharing that hope with others. And so I'm excited to be able to speak to you this morning a message of hope. As we get into the message this morning, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8, or you can look at the screen here and follow along there. Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 25 reads this way. Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for the future day when God will reveal who his children really are. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, say eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. And we believers also groan, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us as a foretaste of future glory. For we long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. We too wait with eager hope, say eager hope, for the day when God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, including the new bodies he has promised us. We are given this hope when we were saved. If we already have something, we don't need to hope for it. But if we are looking forward to something we don't yet have, we must wait patiently and confidently. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak your words of hope to us today. And give us, Lord, that assurance that we know in whom we have believed and we can trust, O God, that you are faithful, that you are good, and that you have good things in store for us. In the precious name of your Son, Jesus, we ask, and all God's people say, amen. Well, welcome for those of you who are online watching with us. We're so glad that you have joined us. This morning, I want us to understand what this scripture is speaking. Did you know that all creation was created to never die? I want you to think about that for a minute. Creation was created to never decay. The world looks very differently now than when it was originally created. The Bible is very clear that death and decay are the result of a sin-filled life or a sin nature. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15 says, let no one say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth what? Death. Romans chapter 6, 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ our Lord. Genesis 2:17. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely what? Death entered the world because of sin. Even the earth was cursed because of sin. Genesis 3:17 through 19 says, the ground is cursed. The ground is cursed because of you. All your life you will struggle to scratch a living from it. It will grow thorns and thistles for you, though you will eat of its grains. But by the sweat of your brow will you have food to eat until you return to the ground from which you were made. For you were made from dust, and dust unto dust you will return. That was the curse that was spoken, as we know, to Adam, right? Romans 5:12. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. So we understand that there was a death that came across creation. You know, when we look, we have seasons where things die. right? We're entering into the winter season where people have to bring their plants in. They have to cover things. People that like to have lime trees and different things like that, they have to bring those in so that they can continue to have limes all year long, because limes are good here in Texas with sweet tea, right? We have to cover those things, and we have to protect them. Because why? Because there is death that happens. Let's look at this. There is a direct correlation between practicing sin and evil and the land being cursed. This is important. I want us to understand this. Leviticus 20, verse 22. It says, "You shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and perform them, that the land where I am bringing you to dwell may not vomit you out." That's graphic. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins, and I will do what? Heal their what? Heal their land. Heal their land." For all of my environmentalist friends, we are called to be good stewards and to care for that which God has given to us, including his beautiful creation. God created a garden and placed Adam in it to tend and care for it. However, that which has the greatest impact on healing our planet is not going to be the Green New Deal. Man can put forth his best efforts to clean and protect the environment. Listen. But until we hit our knees and repent, this planet will never be healed. Until we learn and understand the importance of what this scripture says, repent, turn from your wicked ways, then God will hear from heaven, forgive our sins, and heal our land. The Bible is very clear that if we do not honor God with the way that we live, if we continue to live in sin and practice sexual immorality, if we continue to practice idolatry by sacrificing the unborn on the altars of women's choice, worshiping the creation rather than the creator, if we continue to allow greed and selfish ambition and pride to rule our lives instead of caring for the poor and the orphan and the widow and loving our neighbor as ourselves, God says that the very earth will vomit us out. A judgment day is coming. A judgment day is coming. I have to say something, and I don't want to step on people's toes, and I hope that I don't offend anyone here, but I it's inevitable. I will offend people. The Bible is clear, and the Bible says to some that Jesus came and there were people that got offended by him, right? So we're going to talk what the Word of God says. Do you know what the LGBTQ community chose, why they chose the rainbow to represent themselves? Now, not everybody knows this, okay? Not the majority of them probably don't understand this. But I want you to hear this. God told Noah that the rainbow was the sign in the sky to remind us of the covenant that he had made to never again destroy the earth with a flood because of man's wickedness. When they wave that banner in the sky, they're flaunting God's promise in his face. You can't touch us. You promised, remember? I want you to look at 2 Peter chapter 3. It says, most importantly, I want you to remind you that in the last days, scoffers will come, mocking the truth and following their own desires. They will say, what happened to the promise that Jesus is coming again? From before the times of our ancestors, everything has remained the same since the world was first created. They deliberately forgot that God made the heavens long ago by the word of his command, and he brought the earth out from the water and surrounded it with water. Then he used the water to destroy the ancient world with a mighty flood, and by the same word, the present heavens and earth have been stored up for fire. They're being kept for the days of judgment when ungodly people will be destroyed. But you must not forget this one thing, dear friends. A day is like 1,000 years to the Lord, and 1,000 years is like a day. The Lord isn't really being slow about his promise, as some people think. No, he's being patient. Say, he's being patient. for your sake. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He does not want anyone to be destroyed. He wants everyone to repent. But the day of the Lord will come as unexpectedly as a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a terrible noise, and the very elements themselves will disappear in fire, and the earth and everything on it will be found to deserve judgment. Just in case you weren't sure where we stand, now you know. We stand upon the foundation of the Word of God. As the Apostle Paul stated, may God be true and everyone else be a liar. On Christ the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. God does not want anyone to perish. I want you to hear that. God does not want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. That's what grace is about. Grace is, we don't get what we deserve. Grace is an opportunity for us to embrace Jesus and accept him as our Lord and Savior. He is our hope. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants all to come to repentance. That is why he sent his son over 2,000 years ago to be born of a virgin. This is what we are celebrating. He fulfilled the promise that he made to us on the day that sin entered the world. Jesus was sent, born of a virgin, and though the enemy bruised his heel, he forever crushed the head of the serpent. For those of us who have placed our hope in him, we can boldly stand and proclaim, because he lives, I will live also. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? Death is swallowed up in victory. Behold the manger. Behold the cross. But look to the heavens, for your redemption draweth nigh. Jesus has come. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He has gone to prepare a place. But glory to God, he's coming again. And forever we shall be with our Lord. Come on, somebody, give the Lord praise in this place for the fact that we have hope. We have hope. 2,000 years ago, the earth was singing Silent Night. But this time, he returns. The Bible declares that he will return with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the blowing of the trumpet. The Bible declares that his return will be as the lightning ripping across the sky from one end to the other. The Word of God says that all will see and know that he is God. For at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! This is our hope. This is our hope. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And the government will be upon his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. At the time when Jesus was born, the earth was in turmoil, much as it is today. God's people were being held captive. They were being persecuted. They were being forced to operate within the limits and restrictions placed upon them by the Roman authorities. Evil and wickedness were celebrated in the streets, while the religious leader turned a blind eye to the oppression and injustices for fear of the ramifications of speaking out. Even John the Baptist was thrown in prison and ultimately beheaded for calling out the sexual immorality of the governing authorities and for calling people to repentance. Fear and despair kept people in bondage and subjugation. From the moment that Jesus was born, his parents had to go into hiding to prevent his death. Think about that. Imagine that kind of world. For some of us, it isn't too difficult. Many feel oppressed, subjugated, fearful, depressed, hiding. Even for many Christians, there is a question. Where is Jesus in all of this mess? With so much hatred and division and fear in the world, wouldn't this be a great time for him to come? I have good news for you. Jesus has come, and he's coming again. But what about right now? Where is the hope for the present? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. For behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. Why do we struggle to believe this? Why do we struggle to believe that God is with us? Why is it that so many times we get caught up in the noise, in the circumstances that surround us, in the busyness of our lives, and we lose sight of the fact that God is with us? His promise is that he would never leave us. His promise is to always be with us. But why do we find ourselves struggling to believe God is with us? God is with us. He's here. Jesus is here. Emmanuel, God with us. He's an ever-present help in time of need. His promise is to never leave us or forsake us. He's always with us. Yahweh Shammah, God with us. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Since I've been crucified with Christ, I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The Bible says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You understand that Jesus, in his resurrected body, is no longer physically here on earth, right? And yet he's here right now. He is here right now. Jesus no longer dwells in a manger. He now dwells in the heart of every individual who has placed their hope and trust in him. This means that you and I are effectively Jesus on this earth. I want you to think about that for a minute. We are Jesus on this earth. He lives within you. He lives within me. Emmanuel, God with us. We are called to bring hope into the darkness. We are called to bring hope to those who are in darkness, to care for the hurting and the broken. We are called to be a city of refuge for the lost and for the damaged. We're called to preach the good news of Jesus Christ and bring hope to the world. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16. You are what? You are the light of the what? Of the world. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. We can't hide. I mean, we can, but what good does it really do? We cannot lock ourselves away in fear. We shouldn't. We cannot hide the light. If Jesus is in me and he is the hope that this world needs, I should be reaching. I should be touching the world. I should be bringing that message of hope, of joy, of love, of peace. The message that Christ the Savior is born. The message of Christmas. What is the message of Christmas? Hope has come. Hope has come. And hope is coming again. Hope is coming again. You and I have the opportunity to impact the world. We have the hope. Why is it that Christians are the ones that seemingly walk around with their head held low, just like, you know, like a defeated dog with their tail between their legs or something, just like, oh, how's it going today? Well, I'm getting by. No. We have hope. We have been given hope. We have the message of hope. We have the good news. Don't let fear and uncertainty extinguish your light. Don't let anxiety and worry steal your joy. Don't let depression and doubt keep you in hiding. Christ in you, Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hope lives within us. The world needs hope. The world needs to know the one who gives us hope. You are the ones who carry hope inside of you. Share it. Give it. Freely you have received. Freely give. We are to love. We are called to love. We are called to share God's love. We are called to reach out to every individual upon the earth. Do we have faults? There were two or three of you that agreed with me. The rest of you are lying. Do we have faults? Okay. Do we know people that have problems? Okay. You're not the only perfect one, just so you know. If you look at everybody and go, man, they all have problems and I don't have... No. Hold on. We're all in the same boat. We are all sinners saved by grace. We are all sinners saved by grace. The point of grace is not for us to stand in judgment, constantly pointing out people's sin. The point of grace is to extend God's grace, extend God's love, extend God's hope by letting people know that He has come and that His promise is that He is with us, that He will never leave us, that He'll never forsake us, that He is the one who comes and He brings healing to our hearts. He brings hope to our lives. He can lift us up. Do we struggle? The Bible says very clearly, there is no sin that is not common to man. There's no temptation that comes from a foreign source. It's all just our fleshly desires. We all have our own thing, whatever that is. For some of us, it might be indulging in too much turkey on Thanksgiving. I don't know. Let me button this here. We all have our weaknesses, but it's in Christ's strength that we've been made whole. The world was in a desperate situation. The world was in a desperate place. Sin had come into this world. Adam and Eve had fallen. In the garden, there was a curse that was pronounced. But in that same moment, there was a hope that was given that Jesus would come. And Jesus came, and He brought hope, and He brought peace, and He restored us to relationship with the One who is love, our Heavenly Father. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. He desires a relationship with us. He loves every single person. The Bible says that God's will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Our responsibility is not to stand in judgment, but to reach a hand out, to reach a hand out in love, and let people know the hope that we have in Jesus. This Christmas, give the gift of hope by sharing the love of Jesus with the world around you. Find tangible ways to shine the light of Jesus so that the world may know the One in whom we have believed. You have hope. I have hope. The world needs hope. Let's give them the hope of Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. He is our hope. Amen. Jesus has come for those, and for those of us who have placed our hope and our trust in Him, we are looking forward to a day. We are waiting with eager anticipation the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This is our hope. Jesus has come, and He's coming again. If you'd like to share this hope today, you can have the assurance that your future is secure by placing your hope in Jesus Christ. 2,000 years ago, God sent His Son to earth to be born of the Virgin. He'd grow up and ultimately give His life as a ransom for us, taking our sin and shame upon Himself and nailing it to that tree. Jesus became our salvation. He arose from the dead and is now in heaven, where He awaits the moment when He will return as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will set all things right. If you will choose to give your life to Him today, He can take the brokenness and He can make all things right in your life. He'll fill you with hope. He will fill you with peace and assurance of the life to come. Will you trust Jesus today? With every head bowed, every eye closed, no one's looking around. For those of you who are watching online, I ask that you would take this opportunity. If you don't know Jesus today, if you've never asked Jesus to be the Lord of your life, and you've heard about this message of hope, that Jesus came to offer freedom, to offer peace, to fill us with hope, to give us eternal life, to give us an assurance, and that he is returning again to take us, and so that we can all forever be with him, to bring what is right to this earth, to make things right. If you would like to know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, if you'd like to accept him into your heart today, I want to give you that opportunity. With no one looking around, if you would say, I would like to give my heart to Jesus, would you just slip your hand up? We're not going to do anything weird. We're just going to say a prayer. If you would like to give your heart to Jesus this morning, would you just slip your hand up and say, yes, that is me. That is me. I'm giving my heart to Jesus. Amen. I would ask that you would all pray with me this prayer. Dear Jesus, I commit my life to you. I give you all that I am, and I receive the hope of your Son, Jesus. I ask that you would come into my life. I place my faith and my trust in you. Forgive me my sins. I belong to you from this day forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give the Lord a praise offering for that? For those of you who are watching online, if you made that choice, be sure to let us know. If you raised your hand, or if you chose to give your heart to Christ this morning, I would ask that you would let us partner with you, let us join together with you. There are those who are going to be at the prayer wall here. We'd love to join in prayer with you. If you need prayer, do not leave this place without receiving prayer. Well, we are so thankful that you were here this morning. Would you please stand as we pronounce the final blessing? As we prepare to leave this place, let us be sure to extend hope to the world around us, because the world needs hope. Just, we all need hope. Heavenly Father, I just come before you, and I ask that you would fill us with hope. Help us to focus and place our eyes upon the heavens, and know, Lord, that you are here with us, but we look forward to the day when you will come again and you will make all things right. So help us, Lord, in this time to be light, to shine your light of love, and to bring hope to the world. We thank you for these things, Lord, and we give you all honor and glory. Now please be with these as they go from this place, Lord, and allow them to be safe, to be protected from all evil. We thank you for this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, would you give the Lord one final praise? Thank you for being here. Blessings to you. Go in peace and share God's love and hope with the world around you. Blessings to you.